It's good to see all of you this morning. I hope that you'll follow along in the scriptures as we preach from God's Word. If you have any questions about what's said or done here or taught here, please feel free to ask. We have nothing to hide and try our best to preach the truth and nothing but the truth. When we read in the Bible, in Genesis chapters 1 and 2, we read about God's creation. We read about how that God spoke into existence everything. And at the end of that, he says, it is good. In John chapter 1, we read, beginning in verse 1, that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. When we read throughout the pages of God's Word, we see God. God tells us who he is, beginning in Genesis 1. We read that God and Christ are the same in John chapter 1. And when you read throughout the pages, as you thumb along, reading the account and story and message throughout the pages of God's Word, you see God. God is in everything. And we know that these passages that we read are from God because he tells us. In 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16, it says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, or is God-breathed. God has breathed into this Word that we read from him. He gave his Holy Spirit the message, and his Holy Spirit inspired those writers to tell us what is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now I want to talk to you about God this morning. That God is the Creator, as we notice beginning in Genesis chapters 1 and 2. But Genesis provides for us a basis for faith. Because the book begins by proclaiming God to be the Creator. He is our Creator. One of the very last thing that he created was man. And we were created in his image. But the book of Genesis doesn't begin with abstract arguments for the existence of God. It just tells us that God existed and began to speak into existence everything that we have. But it doesn't make arguments for who God is or why God is, unlike some of our books on philosophy and other books of religion today. Neither does it present scientific data or experiments trying to prove how things happened. Because it just flat out tells you that God said, let there be, and you name out the things of creation, and there it was. And he said, it was good. And then he rested. But the Bible doesn't give a scientific fact or data or anything experimental telling us how he did it. You know, some science fiction shows might tell you that, well, he created one universe and he didn't like it, so he destroyed it and started all over. Well, he may have for all I know. But I know he created this one by saying, let it be. And this can be used in order to prove that God exists. And he doesn't present the scientific data that he created the world and the life in it. Science proves that this life exists. The Bible doesn't begin with a frontal attack on some polytheist mythology that was prevalent in the ancient Near East. It begins with a proclamation of faith in the one and only sovereign God who created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And he also created man in particular. He created every living creature to live upon this earth, you and I included, because he is good. God, who only wants to bless his creation, is good. Now, there are a lot of people that might argue with that God is not good. And the Bible does mention that He is vengeful, that He has wrath from time to time when His children are disobedient. But God is good. He wants everyone to come to salvation, to spend eternity in heaven with Him. Now, some may see this approach as a sign of weakness, that God doesn't prove that He is God. He doesn't prove that He spoke into existence all that is created. We take it upon faith. But some may see that as a weakness because it places faith at the forefront and seemingly rejects reason and scientific knowledge. Well, the scientific knowledge we'll talk about a little bit later, but it basically says that God said, I didn't do anything. It just happened. How do you figure that out? And then scientists will tell you that you and I come from a little piece of sludge that decided one day to crawl up out of a swampy land, and we turned into fish that could walk on land and then turned into monkeys over billions of years and then turned into Neanderthals. But they say that that happened because we found a skeleton here and a skeleton here, and then in between we found a skeleton, but there's pieces missing. Like a tail. You just go from a monkey to a humanoid, a human being, and they say, there's the scientific proof. Do you realize their proof of evolution, as far as man coming from a monkey, is a chip of a bone? And they go, that is our proof. Well, let me ask you a question. What's easier to believe, that God said, let there be light, or the fact that they find one piece of a bone and they say, well, that's the missing link between monkeys and humans? We don't have anything else to prove that that's, but that one bone, in my humble, uneducated opinion, people stretch to get what they want. In reality, it excludes blind faith in human reasoning. They say that you're just leaping into the dark to have blind faith to say that you believe that God spoke into existence. Well, no. I don't have a blind faith. I have a faith that is trying to please my Heavenly Father, Hebrews 11 and verse 6. And in other words, since there were no human observers from the beginning, they say, you know, when creation actually took place, they say, how can it be scientifically proven? Since there were no human beings there to observe it. Any of you that have ever driven down the highway and watched state workers working on the highway, how many observers do they have? And how many workers? And that's their thinking. How many of you have ever been in the military, and how many observers do they have? You work on the assembly line and you have people that come through and they observe to make sure that something that they are creating is being created correctly. That's human reasoning. But God said, I'll tell you what happened, and you can believe it or not. I choose to believe it. But it can't be proven scientifically that God was responsible for creation, they say. There's no scientific proof. But you know, even if there had been a witness present, there would be no way to repeat creation as a means of a scientific proof. You know, they say if you create it one time, then you need to be able to create it a second time as proof that the first one was created. So how are you going to do that? Well, if we had somebody there in the beginning that could watch, well, how are you going to prove it again by recreating what you've seen? So creation and beginnings have to remain in the category of faith. So that's what the book of Genesis does. It provides a basis for our faith. So now faith in God as creator is more reasonable, I believe, than blind faith. But yet the people of the world are going to argue with you. You look at the statement made in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. What does that tell you? That God created. It doesn't say anything else. It doesn't say, well, I wasn't sure what was going to happen. But I bumped these two marbles together out in space, and there you are. This big bang happened, and this cataclysmic event took place, and everything just happened to fall in order. A big sun was created, and everything began to revolve around it at a perfectly circular motion. And by the way, each one of those little planets spin in perfect harmony with nature, so that, like on this planet that we live on, we don't fall off. Because it just happened that gravity works the way that it does. And it just so happens, by happenstance and by a big mistake, that water works the way that it does. The oxygen works the way that it does. Our bodies are put together in the way that they are. To me, that's blind faith. To believe that all of those things happened without a creator. A blind faith. Now, obviously, it's a statement of faith without any proof. What proof do you need? Do we need, as children of God, to say that something other than a creator put everything into the order that we have it? I don't need anything else. But there are scoffers. There will be people that will argue, and they'll come out and they'll say, oh, your faith in God as creator is just a leap into the dark without any evidence. What evidence do you have that God exists? They say. So they say, I would rather put my confidence in science, because that can be seen and proven. Can science tell you what oxygen looks like? They can tell you it exists. They can tell you what makes up water, that it takes so much water, so much oxygen, and so much hydrogen to make water. But they can't see these gases a lot of times unless they add some element to it. But there again, that's science. Your faith in God is just a leap in the dark, they say. But I want to suggest to you that if one rejects God as the creator, then the only other possible statement is that in the beginning, chance created the heavens and the earth. See, they'd rather believe that. Because it's too difficult for them to believe that God exists. It's too difficult for them to believe that God said, let there be light, and there was. Why is that so difficult? Have you ever had any dealings with an atheist? I used to work with one that claimed to be an atheist when I worked factory work. He was an interesting fellow. But he wouldn't explain to me why he didn't believe in God. He just, well, I just don't believe. I'm an atheist. Why don't you not believe in God? Well, I just don't believe. But here they are, and this is what's being taught in a lot of school systems, that chance or evolution or the Big Bang happened to create the heavens and the earth. When you think about it, is that not also a statement of faith? I don't believe in God, but I believe this happened. They're confident, have faith that this is the way things happen. But you know what? They can't prove scientifically either that their creation by chance is the way things happened. No, so which is more logical and reasonable to believe? Let's look at a list of things here. Which is more logical and reasonable to believe? That order accidentally came out of disorder? While you've got outer space, they say, that already exists, and you've got all these planets and balls and everything in space that are just moving around, and all of a sudden they bump into each other and they go, boom, there it is. There you have it. Order comes out of confusion and disorder. Which is easier to believe? That that happened, or God said, let there be in creation? Which is more reasonable to believe, that life came from non-life, that you and I began with a piece of sludge that crawled up out of the mud, turned into a fish, turned into a monkey, turned into a humanoid, then turned into us? Which is more reasonable and logical to believe? The human consciousness came from an unconscious matter? You think about it. Even if, and that's a big word, if, things collided and we have the universe as it is, what part of that Big Bang give us the ability to reason and to think? I don't believe anything in the Big Bang could. Because God says we're made in His image. We're given the ability to think because we're made in God's image. Not because some piece of mud decided to crawl up out of a pond somewhere. Well, I think I'll crawl up out of here and go out here. Nature doesn't work that way if you think about it. Nature doesn't do that. They don't evolve in that way. A fish doesn't decide one day, well, I'm tired of being a fish. I'm going to crawl up here on the sand and see if I can turn into something else. I'm going to be a seagull. That's what I want to be. I want to be a seagull. I'm going to fly. Or I'm going to be, you know, I go up to the surface and I see these animals running along the beach. I'm going to be a sea lion. That's what I want to be. So in my mind, I'm going to change myself into that. Does that make sense? But isn't that what evolution teaches? And yet God says, I made it this way. I made you this way. Which is more logical or reasonable to believe? That a creator designed the intricate universe in its life forms? That he created everything under the sun just like you see it today? And somebody's going to say, well, there have been changes. Oh, I agree. Some things have to change, adapt for the climate they live in. Or farmers come along and they say, well, I like this tomato and I like that tomato, so I'm going to mix the seeds or the corn or whatever. There are things that we've changed scientifically. But the basis of everything is that God created it. God created it. So the one who puts their faith in everything is an unbeliever. The problem for this unbeliever is that no such life origin event has ever been demonstrated by science or observed in nature, because it can't not be. Science says, well, you didn't have anybody in the beginning to see or to witness that it actually happened. So science always says, well, we got to recreate the event. Why have they not done it yet? Can anybody answer that? Why has science not recreated creation again? Why don't we have another universe out here, because scientists are so smart that they can create another universe, another solar system, another Milky Way? Why? Because they can't. It's not possible. So the one who puts their faith in chance is actually the one who's taken a blind leap into the dark, because they don't have faith in what God says. They're trusting instead in a notion that is contrary, or an idea that's contrary to known scientific truth. Well, how's creation scientific? Go back and read the Bible. Read the book of Job, if you will. And it talks about the currents under the sea before man ever discovered it. It talked about the rivers in the ocean before man ever discovered them. Well, how could that be? Science hadn't been studied or invented yet, and yet the Bible talks about those things. The book of Job talks about the world hanging on a thread, or spinning on a thread, so to speak. And nobody had ever been to space yet to know that. So how can science say, well, no, that, no, that doesn't happen. We're still living on a flat earth, scientists would have us believe, because they don't want to believe in the Bible. They want to argue with it. But there is a naturalist faith that is based on a weak foundation. The unscientific nature of faith in chance. It's seen like this, I'm going to suggest to you. If a person had a bucket containing millions of grains of fine sand, and I'm going to say millions of grain because I don't know anybody that can count sand, the grains in the sand. How many times would he have to dump it out on the floor before it would accidentally spell out the entire Declaration of Independence? Huh? That's chance, isn't it? How many buckets of sand would you have to go out and scoop up and pour on a floor? Oh, wait. No, that's not it. And just, it's not going to happen, is it? But you see, that's the argument that they make about by chance everything came into existence. To ask the question is to answer it. Because no one could seriously think that it would ever happen. Even if it were attempted, from now until the end of time, it's not going to take place. The odds against such a thing is so astronomical that it would take a book the size of an unabridged dictionary just to write all the zeros after the number. So this blind faith really doesn't make sense, does it? Because it is contrary to everything that we see and experience in this life. I know some of you like this passage from Psalms. Psalm 139 and verse 14. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. Years ago, when I was working at Howell Quaker, I was working one Saturday, and we made coils for central heating units. And we'd put these copper tubes in them, in the metal fins, they call them. And then we would lay it on a machine, and they would run a rod down it that had a steel ball bearing on the end of it. And they called it a bullet, because that's what it looked like. It looked like the end of a bullet. It had a screw in it going into the metal rod. And this machine would expand the copper tube. Well, if the operator didn't keep the screws tightened, they would come off inside the copper tubing sometimes. Well, I was there one Saturday working, and they asked me to do what they call rework. So if a coil got messed up, if a bullet come off in it, I was responsible for getting it out. I'd never got one out before. So I'm working with a girl up there, and she says, what we do is put an air hose to it, and we hit the button, and it blows it out. Well, this was new copper tubing. It had rifling on the inside of it to help the freon flow. So here I go. I put this air hose up there, and there's no way to hook it up to the copper tubing. And she said, are you ready? I go, for what? She says, to hit the air pressure. And I said, I guess. There it went. Poof! And my hand did this number. And when it come back up, blood was spurting out. Because that stainless steel bullet had went into my hand. You doubt this, I got the scar to prove it. Went into my hand, come all the way down here. The screw was in here. I had to go to hospital, went to Nashville, had to have surgery. They went in through that hole, pulled the screw out, went back in, pulled the bullet out. When I went for follow-up, the doctor says, you didn't touch anything. I said, what do you mean? He said, you didn't touch any tendons, any ligaments. And he said, you got some blood vessels. He said, but you didn't touch any nerves either. And he said, let me explain it to you this way. He said, your hand works, he says, miraculously, but it works really good.
And he says, all your blood vessels and everything. He said, your head is like a junction box for an electrician. He said, your blood vessels and your nerves come up into your hand, and it's like somebody wrapped a finger around it, pulled it up, packed it back down in there, and goes up into your fingers back. If you didn't hit anything. How does it work? What gave us the idea that by chance everything happens that way? That our fingers and our hands work the way that they do. That it takes ligaments and tendons and everything to make us pick something up and grip it. That happened by chance. I will praise you, God, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made, the psalmist says. Marvelous are your works. Let there be light, and there was. And that my soul knows very well. No one could fully imagine how true this statement is by the psalmist until late in the 1900s. Because it was then that scientists finally began to be able to map the 3 billion codes of the human genome. 3 billion. Can you count that high? I can't. 3 billion. And even though scientists have been looking for decades for a naturalist cause that it could explain the existence of life, and they can't find it, so they just keep saying, by chance, things were created. In the beginning, by chance, the heavens and the earth were created. Their unbelief in a creator is not for a lack of evidence as the nature of life and its origin, because it's there. It's plain to see. They just have to open their hearts and admit that God said, let there be. Instead, it appears to prove an old adage, one that says, none are so blind as those who will not see. There are plenty of people that will not see. When it comes to the Word of God, God is long-suffering and patient, not willing that any should perish. He wants us all to obtain salvation, to spend eternity with Him in heaven. And that begins with having faith that He is the God of creation. Believing in His Word, obeying His Word, and doing everything that He has told us to. If you're here this morning and you haven't put Christ on in baptism, this is an opportunity that God has provided for you. Everything is prepared. All you need to do is make the decision, first of all, and make your way to the front. Confess your faith in Christ and be baptized for the remission of your sins. It may be that you've done that, but you've allowed maybe science to convince you that God is not real. Or whatever it may be in your life that is preventing you from following God completely. God has provided you with this opportunity to make your life right and come back to Him. The invitation song is, I Surrender All. Will you? Will you surrender all to Christ and come and serve Him faithfully?